if you want to collab, how do you want this project to be received? Once you understand the intention or the purpose of this work, in some way can help you to see whether the deliverable really matches the description of that or not.
Welcome to Style as Identity, a podcast by The Majority Group. Join us as we get to know the designers and founders who are shifting our understanding of the style status quo. We're your hosts. I'm Lola Quintero.
And I'm Frankie Aquazem. Join us each episode as we learn from brands that are an extension of their values, identity, and aesthetic, and are super open about sharing the less talked about aspects of what they do. We're so glad you're here.
Plot twist.
Today, we don't interview a fashion designer.
We don't.
It's no other than Zipong, designer, illustrator, and seasoned collaborator with the likes of Allbirds and Koss.
We wanted to talk with someone that has collaborated with fashion brands, and he has.
Join us as we hear from Zipong on what makes the right collab.
This episode will level up your working knowledge and mindset around collabs and give you a roadmap on how to set yours up for success. Hi, Zipong.
Hi.
Hi, Zipong.
Hi.
What I love about having you here today is that you aren't a fashion brand, but a designer that has collaborated with one, Allbirds and Koss, but we'll get to that later.
Yes.
Many of our listeners either started their own brand, are at in-house at one, or have aspirations to start one. Hearing your perspective will help us learn through your experience, and I can't wait to get into it. So from the top, what type of design do you focus on, and when did you realize you wanted to be a designer?
Yes. So I have a semi-long answer to this, unfortunately.
Yes.
Don't abbreviate for us.
Yeah. Say more.
I also don't know how, because every single part is kind of crucial. I'm a Swiss Army knife kind of creative. I went to school for design, but then I picked up illustration, animation, 3D along the way. So I can make a lot of things. And I actually didn't start off wanting to become a designer. And I have a secret backstory to follow up. When I was a kid, I was born and raised in China. And manga and anime is a big part of our childhood. Like, you know, y'all have Disney, we have manga, you know?
Yeah.
And all I wanted is to become a manga artist to draw comic books. But what I had the realization that I had no skills of drawing whatsoever. And that was when I was maybe 13 or 14. And
was that a self-realization or someone told you?
It's a self-realization, because I worked every day. I draw like 10 hours a day. They don't look good. They look so bad.
We love self-awareness though.
Yeah.
Yes, yes. But it was also, you know, for a 13 or 14 year old's first defeat in a way. Yeah. You know, it's like my first failure by however you want to define it. And that experience actually led me with a tremendous skills in Photoshop. That's where it led me into the world of design, because my friends are, oh, you know, can you Photoshop this photo for me? And I would just add their names next to them, but I would pick a font, I would add some glow, they would look very cute. And
snazzy.
That sort of like, yeah, and then that sort of snowballed into creating posters for the school and everything, until one of my art teacher suggested if I am interested in study design abroad instead of biochemistry. However, the little side secret story I want to tell you is my dad was actually a graphic designer as well. He was professionally trained as a painter, but then he went into design because painting in China can feed your family. And then sadly, he realized design can feed his family. So he actually had a very traumatic career. So when I was growing up, all the art books were locked up in the library. I was not allowed to touch any of them until, you know, later on I went to art school, because they didn't want me to go down this path. And irony is a bitch. Oh,
truly. That irony, man.
They tried really hard to keep me away from it, and somehow
she's so stubborn.
Somehow she found her way back, and yeah, you know, and here we are.
I love that though. You're like, look, I know the books are locked away, but I'll just find my own way there.
And I didn't know that my dad was a designer and artist until I think maybe 4 or 5 years ago.
Man, the nature versus nurture there. The nature is...
Nature wins.
Yeah.
Can't deny.
Nature yeah. one, nurture zero.
Yeah. Sorry, yes. nurture.
I have spent so much time looking at your designs that I now feel like the rest of the world looks so bland in comparison. Obviously, the rest of the world is doing her best, but you really, really know how to tell a story and captivate the naked eye. And so, you know, who do you create for?
Other than Frankie.
Thank you, Frankie. I had this revelation in the middle of the pandemic. I was going through my first ever heartbreak.
During the pandemic? That's a double whammy.
Oh, I left my ex-boyfriend March 10th. Oh. And then two days upstate turned into 6 months there because yeah. by the time that I realized, I woke up a Monday morning, New York City was locked down. So I was going through
yeah.
my first ever breakup in this global tragedy at the same time. And at that moment, I had a decision to make, because what do I want to make and what's the point of it all? Because when the world is on fire and everyone were dropping dead, creating graphic design seems very, very non-important. But then I had a moment, I think I am kind of funny. I think I make work can bring a little smile to someone's face. And I felt like if I am able to chip in my side of the effort to just make someone's day, hopefully Frankie.
Yes. Heart emoji.
And then I will be, I'll succeed. Like, I think this is something that will make me feel like, oh, maybe I've done my job as a creative.
You've said, I want to bring sunshine into people's lives through my work. And adding the sunshine, especially during the past few years, can be very rewarding, of course, but it's exhausting. So how do you refill your cup in a way that sustains?
That is a really good question. I think it's going to come back to, once again, the nature and nurture. I'm from basically the Miami of China. So I grew up bathed in sunshine. We have at least 9 months of summer. Like, so sunshine, I think it's been in me since day one. And then when I moved to New York City, which is not always sunny and
she's moody.
Well, I felt that she has multitude. Mm. And then not all multitudes are palatable for someone who recently moved there. And for me, I felt like, oh, maybe there is a way for me to bring my sunshine from back home to here, so I can still feel like I'm close to home in strange ways.
Yeah.
And then I was in the pandemic, I did a lot of therapy, a lot of meditation, a lot of self-care, cooked a lot. That was another way of me to cope. And then honestly, creating work too. Like, for me, I felt like in strange ways, my work has been my therapist to help me through some of the dark times, because I get to redirect my emotions or my feelings to something, and I can find ways to channel it and express them. If you look at a lot of my work, they are very much about what's happening in my life or what's happening from what I've seen or what I've heard, you know? Yeah. And I felt like all of that combined together, it created this wonderful opportunity for me to create more light for other people.
Does work refill, and this is for people who maybe are like, my work used to refill my cup, it doesn't anymore. Is it important for that to be work that is self-guided or something that you choose to do? Is that an important element of it refilling your cup?
I think as a creative, I often have to remind myself what got me into where I am in the first place, because it doesn't matter if you're a graphic designer, fashion designer, musician, there is this time and place that you are not getting paid. You're just like, this is what I want to do. I'm interested. I can stay up all night for days and on, not eat, not sleep, just keep doing this thing. And that's sort of where it got all of us here. And unfortunately, in the world of capitalism and adulthood, I think often lots of that drive and that motivation get chipped off. But I think it's still there deep in you somewhere. That's what sort of kept you going through the day, right? But then I felt like if you can find ways to rechannel that energy, that passion from day one, that can really help you to see what you are doing in a better perspective. And hopefully that can help you do more work and be more motivated.
Your career is so illuminated with success. And I'd love to know, how many years have you been a professional designer? And now, how many of your projects are ones that you're 1,000% bought into and feel fill your cup versus ones that might be more commercial because she's got to eat?
That is a very good question. First of all, I think the concept of a professional is really interesting because I felt like I have been doing work since I was a teenager. But I think if you want to count after graduation, it's been exactly 10 years. And I have the great privilege and honor to get to collaborate with so many amazing clients who have the balls to hire me, because I think it takes courage to hire a creative like me who wears crazy patterns, crazy colors all at once all the time. And I also felt that I really appreciate them taking on a queer immigrant creator. I think all of that in many ways is a great way to help me, to give me drive, because I remind myself how lucky and how grateful I am every single day. But I think out of the projects, every time I get to try something that I haven't been done, you know, whether it's a outdoor mural or my first ever Times Square takeover, all of those projects with the scale. I mean, size matters, of course, but you know, it's just being able to reach out to a new territory. It's something that's really, really exciting. But then follow up to that is I have many opportunities. I get to create work for the various communities that I'm a part of, for the Asian American, Asian community, the immigrant community, the queer community, the Chinese community. I think all of these projects that I get to make, not for the wallet, are usually the one that really made me feel fulfilling.
And you've kind of already spoken to it, but we have to know, as big fans, like, what's your creative process? And then how do you know when or if it needs to change, like if it needs a little facelift?
I think I am one of those people who have visions. I'm using my hand to air quote right now really hard, because every time I get a brief from a client, most likely I know exactly what I wanted when I got the brief. I'm not one of those people who will dig through, you know, going through all of these things. Usually when I hear the problem, I kind of have a solution, which is, I'm very lucky. I'm going to knock on wood right
yes,
here.
Yes, we should all do
please,
that.
This idea, keep on bringing to me. Do not leave me ever again. but then...
Don't move out to the next caller.
But then more importantly, I think, is to understand what you're creating. Because when the client comes to you, usually there is a need, and then you are doing your best to either solve that problem or help them facilitate whatever the needs that they have.
Do you feel like you have the most of the time clients have a good idea of what they want? Because I find
no.
Yes. Okay. That's kind of what I'm getting at. So what's your process for like kind of coaxing that out? Or is it more that you're just like really good at getting to the gut things that they're not saying?
The complicated part, because I do so many different things, so it really depends on what kind of project it is. But usually for a branding project or an animation, or sometimes even the brand collab, they will come to you, be like, hey, this is what we want. And then I often ask them, but what's the intention behind this thing that you want to do, you know? If you want a logo, what do you want this logo to do? If you want a commercial, how do you want people to react to this video? You know, if you want a collab, how do you want this project to be received? Once you understand the intention or the purpose of this work, in some way can help you to see whether the deliverable really matches the description of that or not. I think in the world of creativity, there's a lot of shiny things, you know? Very often, they stress on the importance of a logo, but the problem is messaging, you know? Yes, you can have a great logo, but if your copy is not good, people don't understand what you're talking about, they're not going to get it and it's not going to be effective. And then I'm trying to do my best to help my client understand what their problem is and how can we solve this together.
What I want to go back to is that you asked the client what their intention is, but when you gave examples of the questions you were asking is, how do you want this to be perceived? Which is actually having a customer first mindset. Because if the customer doesn't feel that intent, which is really what you're asking, then the project isn't successful.
Yeah. I mean, here's the thing, right? Usually the work that we do, it's outward facing. Sure, there's many internal projects that we work on, but even the internal project, there's usually an audience behind that. Like the client is usually hiring us to create something for someone else.
Yep.
You know, like doesn't matter. Yes. Sure, we're creating identity for a brand. Yes, the client is a client, but that brand usually have something else, whether it's a service of a product towards other directions. So to understand what is the third party in this scenario can really help us to navigate better.
Totally. So going into collaborations a little bit more, you mentioned that you're a little bit funny. Yes, we agree. And, you know, you're funny, you have a strong voice, you have meaningful messages, you care about the intention behind work. And so Frankie and I were discussing it and we're like, I wonder what makes him say yes or no to a collaboration. And I think what I really want to ask is, have you said no to a collaboration and why?
I have many times. For me, I felt like I had the great pleasure to work on many, many Pride collabs. And I feel like for a lot of career creatives, your month of May is this crazy rain season that people just email you all the time on a potential project. But for me, I felt like if you're the type of organization that reach out to people, you know, within a month prior to Pride, you are not a genuine ally. And I've gotten emails at May 24th. It's like a week before Pride. I'm sorry. I'm busy.
Yeah, you need to set those reminders way earlier.
It should not be the afterthought. If it's an afterthought, don't do it. And I would often said, come back next year.
Or also, why does it have to be June if you really care?
Yeah. So, that part.
Thank you so much for bringing up that part, because originally my Allbirds collab was meant to be a Pride collab. And then we had a conversation with a client. I was telling them, I actually felt like it would be more impactful if we purposely decided to drop this in August, once all the Pride news cycle has, you know, finished, because queer people exist 24/7, 365 a year. I have to say that was the wonderful honor that I had with Allbirds. They were such a collaborative clients. They are not only they listen, but they also really try to be a good ally. Mm. And then on the other hand, many times if I get a project that's whether to do with Pride or Heritage Month, if there's not a designated charity donation part within the contract, I won't take it.
Yeah,
because if you're trying to make money out of my people, like, I'm sorry.
Yep.
Find someone else to do that. I'm not going to help you to take advantage of this situation. But if you're willing to be open to see the importance of contributing to the community, then let's have a conversation, you know, and that's okay.
Yeah. What I love about what you're describing with Allbirds collaboration, in addition to them being an ally, is that when someone approaches you to do a certain thing, I think oftentimes we're like, okay, this is my lane. But you were also, you're like, I'm going to help you with the strategy of this launch. It's not just, okay, in your mind, what do the shoes look like? Like, you're giving them advice and guidance outside of the actual product that is created that also helps with the work that you're working on together. It's oftentimes when someone comes up to you, you're like, all right, I guess I'll just work within this box. But you're like, look, you didn't ask, but I'm going to let you know. You shouldn't launch this in June.
Yes. And also, I think in many ways, if you Google the project, Zipongju X Allbirds, you can see the actual design is not full of rainbow. It's very colorful, but it is not rainbow. And then that is another intention that we purposely decided, is that we're going to see so much rainbow in June. I think people were probably a little rainbowed out by the, you know, end of the summer. And then we want to find ways to express queerness, or I want to find my way to express my queerness in the shoe to be dazzling, colorful, exuberant, fun, energetic, and joyous all at the same time without waving the big rainbow flag.
So now that we're on Allbirds and, you know, one of the people you did say yes to, it's very rooted in like its simple designs. I actually think that's one of their main things. It's like, we're simple, we're practical, you can put us in the wash, and we're comfortable. It's very functional. So what did it look like to fuse your style, your energetic, vibrant style, with Allbirds' already established style?
Well, sounds like they courted you, but we want to know who courted who.
Oh, no. I went out of my way. So I am one of the world's biggest Allbirds fans since day one. They are not paying me to say this. This is one of the rare projects that I went out of my way to get, because I usually wait for the project to come to me. So I usually is like, you know, a chill starfish, I guess, just hanging in my living room. But, you know, occasionally I am this desperate bottom that I really just wanted to please. And in this scenario, one of my wonderful friend, Braulio Amato, did the first ever Allbirds collab. It looked amazing. Please look it up. It's truly incredible. And the second it came out, I texted my friend Braulio. I was like, hey, I don't know how you got this project. Can you please hook me up with them? I have literally 20 pairs of Allbirds, and sent him a photo of my shoe rack. It's just stacks of Allbirds shoes. Yeah. And I was like, please let me do this. Because for me, I love Allbirds because, one, you can just lift it up and it's gonna put on you, like, you know, in a second. As a person who is very clumsy, shoelaces are not my friend. Second,
did you hear that, shoelaces? Don't come around here.
Don't come at me. Second, my struggle with Allbirds is sometimes because of how environmentally conscious they are. All of the color, all of the dyes, they are very cautiously selected. That's not harmful to the environment. Therefore, it results in often very muted colors, because that's what you can find in nature.
Yeah.
So that was my only tiny little, you know, personal opinion. Mm-hmm. I would love to have a multicolored Allbirds. And this is what I pitched to them. And they were very kind, and they were very open, and they're very accepting and very, very collaborative in many ways. So, yeah. And, you know, a year and a half later, we have a pair of shoes.
There's a lot of meaning behind the design. Can you talk a little bit more about that?
So I mentioned a little bit earlier that I think this shoe is a queer expression that I try to express from the bottom of my heart. Here's the thing. Let's be real. It's a pair of shoes. It's not here to make a ginormous political statement, by all means. All I'm trying to do is to make the people who put them on feel joyous. Not only because it feels comfortable, but also because it's colorful. It has very intricate details in every single element of the shoe to really shows the care and the love that we put into this, in making the shoe. And then lastly is, I also want to find ways to show that, you know, not all queer people are just, you know, six color rainbow flag all day. You know, like, we can like color and not in that specific sequence and then still be dazzling and fabulous at the same time.
Multitudes, like you said
Multitudes, layers, baby. Honey. Yeah. Layers.
And we're looking at the shoe. What are those intricate details? Tell us more.
Yeah, because every time I look at the shoe, and I know you wore them today, I see something new, even from the same angle.
Yeah, so when you take a first glance of the shoe, there is lots of triangles in various directions. That was a part of the original shoe design. That's something that I didn't get to change. However, that became my inspiration for the shoe, because Allbirds is so much nature-oriented. So this shoe is actually inspired by rocks and stones and terrazzos. So in every single side, you basically see some sort of rock formation on the shoe that is very, very colorful. And then in the insole, there is a terrazzo pattern that I created that matches the outside color. Because the shoe is so angular, that I want to create these forever connecting circles on the front lace of the shoe. And in the back has my little smiley face logo that I think hopefully can bring a little joy to someone when they see it. Yeah.
Well, we've already talked a little bit about this, but you have spoken about how your experiences being Asian, Chinese, and immigrant, queer influence your work. And so when you were confronted with a collab, and you talked about this with Pride, like, how do you internalize or have a meter in your mind of assessing like whether or not this is a genuine collaboration, and whether or not, you know, it's someone who's maybe just trying to capitalize off your identity but isn't trying to do anything like productive? Like, I feel like creators need to know in our minds, because you have that gut feeling, but how do you suss it out?
For me, actually, I felt it's quite straightforward. When it comes to a creative brief, honestly, there's just three things: timeline, budget, and deliverables. If they want this within a week, red flag. If they have very low budget, especially there's no charity or any other, you know, give back that's involved, red flag. And the deliverable, if it's just solely they want something out of you, or if they're solely want to hardcore art direct you, don't let you to be who you are, maybe that's another red flag. I think with all of these, I sort of have a decent understanding of what could be a potential good project. At the end of the day, trust your gut. You know, sometimes if the email seems very frantic, you know, probably not the right client to take it on.
I feel like you've gotten the guidebook. Number one, don't be hasty. Number two, write the intent. And then the other three, time, budget, deliverable. Put some thought behind it and ask the potential collaborator that you'd like to have a conversation.
Yeah, communication is key, honestly. And that's the only way to make great work. Because at the end of the day, both parties want to create something that's good.
Yeah.
And that's often, I think, being misunderstood. Your client is never your enemy, or
right.
Your creator is never your tool. You know, like it's you're both making this baby together, and then you both need to participate. Mm-hmm. And then that's the only way to create something that's good out of it.
Yeah. And I think a lot of the perception is put on the creator of just like, don't sell your soul, don't be a sellout, don't have to choose between a check and doing something meaningful. But it's like, I like what you said, Lola, of just like having it start with the brands of just like follow these best practices so that you're coming to people with these good opportunities.
And you can make money without losing all your souls.
Yeah.
Real quick, you know, you've also collaborated with Cause on their Pride collection. Any key learnings or takeaways there that we can learn from you off of?
Yeah, wow, that was such a wonderful collaboration, because that's between me and two other artists from around the world.
What was that like too? Because there's no way you all had the same style.
No, because one is a poet and the other one's a musician, and I'm a graphic designer. And that's the thing, you know, when you know a good client, is that they really are put in the intent to, one, in diversity, not just in the representation, but also in the genres, in the industries. Yeah. And it was really beautiful because, you know, my work is very straightforwardly typography, but it's in the form of a graphic. But then the poet wrote this beautiful monologue that is printed on the t-shirt. You know, like every single one of us had brought what we do best to the table. And then the team was very, very, very collaborative. So my Cause t-shirt has 13 color embroidery, which is very, very difficult to achieve. If you have any embroidered anywhere, anything go above 6, it becomes very tricky. And not
why
to,
is that?
From my understanding, there's a lot of limitations to the machine and just to the simple production of it all. And then the progressive flag has, I think, 11 colors in there, 11 or 12 colors in there. So in order to create that representative graphic, it has to have all of these colors. And then that was something that the team really went out of the way to make it happen for this project.
Yeah. And you said it was your vision, and your vision to make something like this happen, your vision had to become their vision too. So I think that speaks to the kind of collaborator you are.
And then we communicate a lot of back and forth.
All right. Well, this has been an incredible discussion, and I wanted to ask you, so our listener base, all of you out there, a lot of you are from the US, all over, almost all 50 states by now. We're also completely global, and we love that you are part of this learning journey with us. And so, Zipong, I wanted to ask you, is there anything you'd like to chat about today or share with us all?
Yes, thank you so much. So for me, one of my number one priorities is trying to be a champion, also to contribute my force into the fight against racism. And as some of you might know, the past 3 years have been tremendously difficult for the Asian American AAPI community. And me as this little creator in Brooklyn, I want to do my best to spread the words as much as possible. Right after the horrific Atlanta shooting, I had the opportunity to collaborate with Times Square Arts that they want to put out a public PSA to tell everyone, hey, has no place here. And that project was one of those difficult but yet important, I have to make this happen projects. They came to me right after the shooting, and the project was done within a day, and then it was all over Times Square the next day on every single screen you can imagine, on all of the trash cans, any surface that you can imagine. And that was one of the real rare moments that I felt like my design had any form of power and then my work has any strength. You know, I am a person sit behind a computer most of the time. It's pretty easy to feel quite useless when times are hard, and this was one of those rare moments that I felt that I get to contribute my part to the community with the people that I really, really care about. So I want to just use this time as an opportunity to, if you can, please check out Stop Asian Hate. If you can donate, if you can, if not, just spread the words, because racism is still happening very intensively everywhere. And then if we can just do our best, hopefully something can change in the future.
Yeah, absolutely. Where most of us are behind computers often, and it doesn't mean we are unable to do something and to continue to do our part to end racism and help inspire peace.
Yeah. On the other hand, if you do feel lazy, they have made donation very, very easy within a click of a button. So if you are one of the people that do not want to leave your couch or your desk or your chair, that's totally fine. That there's many ways to help. It doesn't have to be limited to be out on the street, you know?
That's what Apple Pay is for.
That's what Apple Pay is for.
Exactly.
Okay, speaking of putting our money in places, where can we buy this collab with Allbirds?
I have sad news for you. Unfortunately, this collab is officially sold out everywhere.
No!
What?
You said everywhere?
Everywhere. I would say if you can, call your local Allbirds store to see if they have any in the back in the stock. But last time I checked, it's sold out everywhere. And I have wonderful news. I think it happened within 3 to 4 weeks of time. And then I just feel very honored and grateful that people seem to really enjoy the shoe. And I also thanks to my friends and family who really put in the work as well. But regardless, I am just really happy to see something that I make had really positive response, and then people want them.
Wow.
And like
that's
to wear them.
Cool.
Okay, well, if any of you listeners out there have a men's size 8, DM me. I'll take them off of your hands. I love this conversation. I'm so happy we're in the West Village getting cozy with you today.
Thank you, Zipong.
Cozy and colorful, obviously. Obviously.
Yes. CNC.
Extremely stylish.
Yeah, absolutely.
Always.
Thank you,
Zipong. Comfortable in our skin.
Thank you for having me. Oh,
thank you.
Beyonce.
Damn, I love these brands.
Same. I mean, I love that they're just into getting on a podcast and having a very real conversation about what's enabled their brand to survive.
I love it. Okay, let's keep learning together. And all you out there, if it's in your journey to make a purchase today, check out some of the brands we've been talking to.
And if it's in your journey to show us some love, hit that subscribe button.
See you next time.
Bye.